some of it. Yes, sure, if you're ready.
No, anybody who can come in next. Anybody, see, I know you guys made an effort to come down here, so you guys come down and talk. We're not going to this control right now. But what I would like to do is from the elder community, that's the question.
Yeah, sure.
Right? From the young people in the
community. Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But if you got something to say,
I talked to Pat about coffee for tomorrow, and he brought some coffee with us. So he said he'd provide the pot and I guess some
all you need is the pot and cups, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. No problem. I'll make arrangements. Can we get started? Hello? Can everybody hear me? We'd like to get started again, so possible. A suggestion from one of our people here tonight is try to have the elders who are here tonight from the villages and also from Unicleet, we encourage you to testify first tonight if possible. But you know, if you feel you have something to say tonight and you can't make it tomorrow, try to do it. You know, what I'm trying to say is, if you got something to do tomorrow, this is your night, you know, this is the time to testify. And so try to make an effort to come down and do it. Before anybody else gets started, I would like to have our elders sing a translated song at this time. If any one of you could lead it out.
Thank you.
say something few about my hunting life too, because Edith Sagunik, everybody knows Sagunik, old man Sagunik. And I was living hunting myself because of my husband. And then when I have adopted kids, I raise them, hunt myself. And I trading with muskrat for groceries those years when they trading about muskrats that time, and fishing, trading to Gullivan by Irene boat, send them over. And then that time no akla around the Northern Bay, not too many. I used to go around myself because there wasn't no bear that time, because I always have single shot 22 that time. Tommy know how tough it out I have. I know he would laugh. He used to laugh about my life, and my brother David, how try to live myself, because I have to hunt even seals. When I was little girl, young that time, I used to be first one in family, because our brother were youngest, last ones. So I have to go with my father every time he go hunt, even to this side of Cattle River. We go up there, we camp about 5 times, tent up to Cattle, this side of Cattle, when we caribou hunting that time. I was a teenager that time. I remember my hunting in Northern Bay. I know everywhere in Northern Bay. I can go all over, even up the river, learn the names of little creeks, like Ada did. I know I could name their names, where to go, and berry picking camps, and or I have a land claim at, allotment at Ungarlick, but I couldn't stay up there because there's too many bears. I never have a rifle to shoot at them, because I'm kind of heart trouble, sometimes kind of not too good, because if I scared, I would die right here too scared about a bear. That's why I never stay in my allotment. Even in Nome, I have one there, and that's all, I think. Because I never go around alone. Yeah, I like seal oil. I can't stay without seal oil. If I didn't a whole week, I'll miss a seal oil. Once I live with seal oil and mussel in springtime, we used to go out down to the flat just to eat mussel, fresh mussel from the digim, and eat them. I used to make in seal oil with the flour. Just eat them. Just have nothing with it. Just seal oil and the mussel. Seal oil is good to have with all kinds of food. That's why I can't stay without seal oil. And then when my boy, adopted boy, that last one, when he could hunt now a little bit, I quit hunting. And my age is kind of tough right now. But I very glad that I hear Ada talking, just like us, when she was living like that, us two living like that too, when we were young. Sometimes once you will laugh if I talk about our crossing at Ungarlick. We were up to Akhlak, Takukatuli, and we tried to squirrel hunt that time with 7 dogs, Sagunik and I packed baby. And when we go home in that camp, my leader eat all the skins what we get. And I have to cry right here. I was real tough without going down. There no snow, and Sagunik have to stay on that sled, and I have to lead the dogs. And when I find out that squirrels were gone because of our leader eat them all, So I have to cry for those few little skins, what I get. That's the way I live. You know, many of just like old stories I have in my, about my life, but I wouldn't talk about them because you will laugh. I'll take too much time. I like to eat Eskimo food. That's all I need to talk about because everything I eat, even I'll talk about this one too. Once we were out of groceries at Angalik in springtime. We were alone in Angalik, and then we left our groceries. We walked down from Igludalik all the way down to Angalik. We sleep overnight in that place where we going this way, and we were out of groceries. And then we live nothing but half dry fish for 1 week. Just tea and salt and seal oil, that's all we eat. No groceries. But we made it. When Joseph Nasuk bring all my groceries from our camp, I even cry again right there, real thankful. That's the way I live. But I praise the Lord right now because I live this long. And I'm thankful to be here with you all. And I thank everybody that talk about hunting and food, Eskimo food. I love Northern Bay because it got lots of place to go all over, creeks all over. We used to call long ago Koyuk, Northern Bay, Alaska. That used to be like that. But when we get school, it came Koyuk. I didn't know, I wasn't there when they name it with Koyuk. That's the way I live because I don't know. I'm very poor living when early days, you know, before we get aid from government. I'm really thankful that I tough it out that long, but now I'm really thankful to be with the people that are always travel like this while I can go. Kuyana, Kuyana.
Honorable Judge Berger and fellow Inupiaqs, my name is Marianne Haugen and I'm from Unalakleet. When the ANSCA hearings and meetings were held, many people, including myself, didn't understand ANSCA. Subsistence is very important to us. We can't live our lifestyle in our villages without supplementing our diets with fish, game, or berries, because groceries are so expensive in the local stores. And like the elders have stated, hunting and food gathering is done from large areas. If we weighed the benefits of ANSCA with the losses of land use, the scale wouldn't balance. Also, the children born after 1971 were not considered in this act. ANSCA needs to be revised. It's time the government considered us as people. Our ancestor didn't know that they were under the Russian rule, nor did they know that the U.S. purchased Alaska. All they knew is that the land was theirs for their use. For one would like to be considered part of the human race. I, for one, would like to be considered part of the human race with rights. And we have a right to have amendments made to ANSCA as the need arises.
Thank you, ma'am. Could you let us keep your written statement?
It's all messy.
That doesn't matter. Okay.
First of all, I'd like to welcome you to Unalakleet and hope you have a good stay. My name is Henry Ivanoff, and the views I express are solely of my own. I do not represent any organization, and the views I express are for myself. I agree with protection of the land, special benefits for the elders. I believe in the proposed ANSCA amendments to provide new stock to new natives born after 1971. Also, that ANSCA should be amended to authorize a transfer of the corporate assets to a new entity without stock composed only of natives, including the stock alienation issue, allowing stock being sold to the natives' corporation and stock transfer being prohibited to non-natives. I have some reservations as to giving the voting rights to non-natives who are less than one quarter blood because we will accelerate non-native control. The fact, I believe, the ANSCA is a poor settlement act. The ANSCA Settlement Act was not voted on by the people. Not enough land was allocated, and this is verified by traditional use. The monetary settlement was a giveaway. Comparison is Manhattan sold to the Indians for $24. The Settlement Act is from a different culture. An ideal situation is one share per individual, as we always did, which is non-redeemable, non-transferable, but dies when you die and automatically includes new natives. And we will all share in the land and preserve the land for natives yet to be born. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Could we keep the papers? Thank you.
My name is Abraham Anasagak from Koyuk, and I'm glad that I could be here at Unalakleet with the rest of the people who are concerned about their land. I myself, since I was a small boy, remembered the hard times. I didn't know those were the happy days. Speaking English, this is my adopted language, which I'm using. I could use my mother's tongue if I want to myself, but since there's a lot of young people here, I'll use my adopted language. And my mother's tongue is very important to me. And I'd like to restore that to the children that didn't know or almost forgot how to speak it. And my father's accent is here with me also. And I'm so glad that I could be here, along with people from Koyuk. I'm so very much interested, or am pleased, with the elders, what they have said tonight. They are very so true, and they speak it from their heart, that they own the land. The land keep them happy. The land kept food on the table. The land have shelter for them. The land have clothing for them. And so, by listening to the elders, which is very true, that by all rights, we are to protect our land. The land we got now, or we are in, where we are living in now, we have had it for so many years. By our adopted names, each one of us have names, and by our native names, we have our native names, which belong to us, and it was from Alaska. These names we inherit from our forefathers. I myself inherit Bokhok. That's from my forefathers that was given to me. And this is my real name. Being an Eskimo, I am very proud that I could speak here myself. Land claims as to me as I see when it come up, 1971, I didn't know what was going on. And when it came about or heard of it, that we said that they said that they would give us some land and some money. Oh boy, money. Okay, then. So in turn, people said, well, maybe land claims is real good, we'll take that. And so without knowing, everybody falling for this land claim. And now today, I don't know if it makes you happy or not, far as I know, or to myself, that's the way I see it. I can't say that it kept me happy or have food on my table, but without knowing that they put this land claim to us. And it's very much that is not helping anyone. The land claim itself will not go on very long the way we have heard it tonight. The land claim has a set date, 1991. In 13 years, it didn't help you and I very much. Within 7 years, I don't know what we'll see. But the way the elders talk, that we need to back our leaders for their land, which they want to hold. All these land the elders talked about, also the bay, is our garden and our food storage. When I was very young, I didn't see no stores that around Koyuk, not until I was around 5 years old, when we leave Koyuk, going on to Buckland. They said that I could go to store and buy candy. I didn't even know what store was. I didn't even know what to buy when I went in there. And so, by all this, we were brought up without stores. Our forefathers didn't know anything about stores. And today we still could hear the words that are speaking today. Our forefathers are gone, but we still can hear their words. By heritage, they pass this to us. From my forefathers, I learned how to stock my game. They didn't give it to me orally. I observe and look and learn how to get it from my land. This heritage is very important. It's not written. By heritage, holding our heritage is very important for us to keep our land. Being a hunter, I have lots of power to say, this is my land, this is my store, this is my storage. I thank you all very much.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Welcome to Unalakleet. I won't be here tomorrow. I have meetings, so I would like briefly to speak my part as an individual, and like Henry says, not a representative of any group. In my estimation, I believe that as a law, laws are amended, laws are revised, laws are rescinded, laws are changed, or they can remain the same, depending on the need of the people. And if ANSCA was passed with the judgment of fairness to the natives of Alaska, I would believe very deeply that it will be and can be amended by Congress, the only group that can change by the law by its voting, that they will amend it, that it will suit the integrity of their law in treating and dealing fairly with its own people. As the elders have stated, this is our land. It was passed on to us in our care. In their care, our care, and to be preserved forever as a homeland for our people. And we've had centuries of occupation. We've accepted everybody who's come into our homeland. We've never turned anybody away. And I don't believe that we ever will. We have abided in good faith with every law that has been introduced into our society. But it seems that there is no fairness, that our laws are not taken into consideration, they are not recognized, and we are considered just a minority within a dominant culture. While we realize that we were always here, and the anthropologists say that we come across from Asia, that we migrated into Alaska. But the oral history that has been passed down through our forefathers, word of mouth, generation to generation, and this is what my father told me, which came from his mother, that we were always here. We never came from anywhere else. We were here. Those people have got the tracking all goofed up. Now, they never did find the Northwest Passage, but if they had stopped and asked an Eskimo along the way, they would have guided them through to it and probably saved many lives. So, like several of the people I've stated before me, that we need recognition as a people. We want to be known as human beings, like Marianne has stated. So, we're peace-loving people. We've abided with whatever flag that was flown over us. We've never seen those flags except for what was shown over the post office and in the schools as we attend. But it's tradition that we respect one another. That's the important thing, is respect. And you work together. That's another thing. But with the corporation, you have a certain set of rules that you must abide by. Okay, we can change those rules. But we do it with thought, with care for the people, and with respect. And I think it's time that we be heard. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Your Honor, I'm Tim Tuorek. I was going to ad lib a few things and give some of my opinions in regards to the Claims Act and how it affected all of our people through the stock, through the corporations that were formed under it. But the longer I considered it, the longer the list got and the more negative it got. So I decided I better stick to my written statement. Your Honor, first a statement of commendation for the attempts you are making in gathering opinions regarding the Claims Act of 1971. I'm sure you are receiving the spectrum of opinions that is deserving of the act, one which spans the whole state of Alaska, one that spans and affects the various groups, tribes, and nations of Alaska. But on the other hand, one that affects only a select few, except for what I would consider a loophole, referring, of course, to transfers of shares through death of an original stockholder. The Claims Act was not a simple act, and as such, has had more of an impact than any one other simple act on our people's transition of living our traditional lifestyles into one of being assimilated into the American way, if you call it that. Your task is virtually impossible if it is to finalize one or even a standard set of opinions because of the number of individual lifestyles, traditions, and cultures the Act has affected. I hope then that my statement will reflect my ideas on what might be consensus against all of the odds. Now that I've overwhelmed myself with your task, I would like to make a statement with regard to what I feel are the secondary effects that the Claims Act has had on our people. You undoubtedly have heard much about the fear of losing control of our land, the separation that is creating an undesirable chasm between those that are participating and those who are not participating in the benefits of the Act, and no doubt the pros and cons about the business and services that have been a windfall of the money portion of the Act. The biggest beneficiaries of the Act have been two classes of people, lawyers and accountants. If strict figures were analyzed from the first day Emil Noddy, Frank Dignan, and the rest of the original claims proponents began their quest, you would clearly substantiate my interpretation that lawyers and accountants have gained more out of the Act than an average stockholder. As land is being deeded to the corporations, there will be another class of people gaining from the Act, and those will be title search people. By 1991, or whenever the vultures are given their freedom to gobble up the corporations, the Act will be looked upon as a successful act for those three classes of people mentioned, pessimistic but hardly impossible to forecast. It's sad that we perceive the Claims Act as such, because no doubt there were those with idealistic intentions of helping the Alaska Native through the Act, as had been influenced by those on the original board, a few bureaucrats and a few legislators that had been intended, I'm sorry. I guess we as a people need to know the realities of the American way of doing things. In order to reach those that need to be fed, the vultures and wild dogs need to be fed first. It has led me to believe very strongly that no matter how good intentions are by those flaunting dollar bills and waving the proverbial snake oil medicine, if we as a group of people are going to survive, we have to do it all on our own. We need to learn to manipulate the white man's tool to fit our needs. We need to continue educating ourselves to outsmart them. We need to learn to live, work, and get things done on our own. Nothing less will work. We cannot rely on any one thing to survive, as seems to be the case surrounding many of our Native leaders' perceptions that the Alaska Native Claims Act is our last hope to continue our culture. There seems to be the feeling that we still have time to ask for amendments on the Act and that these amendments will help in our survival in the American world. I ask you, as a judgment specialist of human realities, and especially one with your experience with our fellow Natives in another country, Canada, and one whom the current Alaska Native leadership perceives as being objective, I ask you to underlie the fact and make the everyday run-of-the-tundra Alaska Native understand that irregardless of what happens, we as Alaska Natives will still be here, our culture will still be here, and our way of life will still be here. Certainly amendments and other acts might make it easier, but not a single one of our people should rely on the Claims Act, ANILCA, the Statehood Act, or any amendment of them to survive. Our forefathers survived much worse situations than the 1991 issue, the afterborn issues, or whether or not our corporations make a profit. We need to look back at our own traditional means of survival as they did by analyzing what's good about the Claims Act, its amendments, and the other acts, take the good parts and assimilate them into our customs and culture. I have read somewhere that the Alaska Native are proving themselves as the most culturally, educationally, and customarily adaptive individual group of peoples. We need to take that attitude and run all the way with the changes. I don't personally want to demean the intent of the Act and benefits of the Claims Act. I laud them. No doubt the Claims Act has its better parts. In many cases, it has forced good changes upon our people, such as bringing basic business closer to home, and in some isolated cases, it has helped our elders, as I'm sure many of our own Unalakleet elder stockholders feel. It has provided educational objectives, if not opportunities, and it has provided a system, though temporarily, of identification as a group statewide. And it has enhanced the political base of the Alaska Native as a group, which in turn has diverted monetary benefits to the rural areas from the state coffers, primarily from the development of oil in the rural areas. On the other hand, I feel that the reliance and expectations, or rather the over-expectations, of the original Claims Act is being put out of context. On the long road of our culture, it will only be looked upon in the history books as just another hurdle for our Alaska Natives to jump. We need to keep our past, our present, and our future in perspective. Anything short of that will cause human and Native turmoil. This is not our nature. Adaptability is our key to survival, along with our assimilation standards. We should feel that we are assimilating the non-Native culture into ours to make it better, rather than feeling that we need to assimilate our culture and values into any non-Native culture or values. In a lump sum, then, I feel that ideally, if any changes can take place through the political process, the Claims Act will continue to hold the Alaska Natives as a group, will open the doors for opportunity to continue our unique culture, values, and customs, will eliminate the false context that the Claims Act is our final grasp for survival as a cultural force, will not eliminate our identification with the land as one of the means of our survival, and not make us feel that it is our only means of survival. And finally, I hope that the Claims Act will not force our people to relate our human values to the paper and plastic world that seem inherent in corporations, stocks, profit and losses, financial statements, proxies, annual meetings, and all such foreign non-Native related identities. We have too many proud values to lose to such valueless non-human, much less non-Native means of survival. Survival means identifying our values and living with them, and as is our custom, passing them on to our children. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Just before you begin, ma'am, please don't leave. Could I just say a word or two about commenting on what some of you have said? I think that everybody would agree that what Emil Naughty and Frank Degnan and all of those leaders in the 60s achieved was remarkable. They got 44 million acres of land for Alaska Natives. And when that happened, word of it went round the world, and other Native peoples started bringing their claims forward. I think that in other countries, Native people realized, on the basis of what had been achieved here in Alaska, that it was important that Native people should learn about business and be able to run businesses. But in other countries, they didn't adopt the shareholding corporation that you did. In other words, everybody rejected, in all these settlements that Native people have been negotiating in Canada, in Norway, in Australia, in other countries since 1971, they have said, we don't want shares. We don't want the kind of corporations they have in ANCSA, in Alaska. And they said, we don't want you to tax us, our subsistence lands. And so they've rejected your kind of corporation, though they think that what you achieved in getting 44 million acres was very important. Could I just suggest you keep three things in mind that have happened since ANCSA? The United States Congress, you see, the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act isn't the most recent settlement that Congress enacted for Native people in the USA. In 1980, the Native people of Maine went to Congress and said, you've got to settle with us. And Congress in 1980, that's just 4 years ago, said, okay, and they gave them, they acknowledged that they were entitled to keep 12.5 million acres, that's a lot of land in the state of Maine. You know, that's a smaller place than Alaska. 12.5 million acres. And then the question came up, well, how are you going to hold the land? You're going to have shareholding corporations like ANCSA? Are you going to have IRAs? And they wanted IRAs, so Congress said, okay. They turned the land over to the IRAs. Then what about the state of Maine? The state of Maine said, okay, we'll recognize the IRAs as municipal governments and we'll share revenues with them. And what about taxing? The state of Maine agreed they wouldn't tax those lands if they were undeveloped. So that happened 4 years ago in the United States, and Congress did it. So when you're asking Congress to make changes, I wouldn't set your sights too low. I'd remind them of what they've done for Native people just in the last 4 years. Remember, too, that since I started this commission back in February or whenever it was, just since we started this in Norway, where you have the Laplanders, and somebody mentioned the Laplanders a while ago, they are the native people of the Scandinavian countries. A commission in Norway just this year in June brought in a report and urged that there be a Sami or Laplanders parliament consisting of native people that would advise the Norwegian parliament. They also recommended consideration be given to local Laplanders councils in the areas where they live that would have governmental powers at the local level. And in Canada in August, that's just 2 months ago, the Eskimos of the Mackenzie Delta made a settlement with the government of Canada where they got fee simple lands, but they're held by a trust consisting of all the people. They don't have to pay taxes unless they develop the lands. If they go into business with the oil companies, well, then they have to share the wealth with the government. But if they're using the land for subsistence, they don't have to pay taxes ever in perpetuity. And they also looked at what had happened here, and they said, we don't want just fee simple land, we want access to subsistence resources guaranteed. And they got that too. And they got a subsistence preference for Inuit, for Eskimos. It's a subsistence preference that only they enjoy. Well, I just mention these things because these are happening right now as we speak. All of these things are happening, and maybe this commission can help to make sure that you are aware of them, just as those other people will be aware of what you are saying to me. Well, forgive me, ma'am. It's your turn. It's now, okay. And I go ahead, please.
My name is Clara Uyumik, and I've been wondering why we did not have meetings like this when this native land claim was coming up. None of us know that we would be shift here and there with these high office people. I don't know what land claims means. So, for this part here, I never was pleased with after a child is born after 1971. I am a midwife, and I had delivered several that was born after 1971. They are just as human as we are. We were born just like them. Why were they left out, if they have to be left out? Those are my questions. And I've never been pleased with this land claim because just very few people signed the paper and said that people want land claim settlement. I think I know the three people that signed, but I'm not mentioning no people tonight. But those are my questions. I know I can live under this land claim, forget about the land claim and do my subsistence. I always said, if they take our subsistence purposes, then they'll holler for us. Poor people are hungry. They'll put us on paper, on TV, just half starving. Eskimos won't starve as long as they're living in their own area where they know where to hunt. I am not a hunter, but I am a mother of several boys. After my husband died, they were the ones that supported me,